Good evening, everybody. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I have a paradigm shifter for you that's very exciting this week. And what is a paradigm shifter is someone who's making a difference on the collective at this time of the Great Shift, heading into 2012. And our paradigm shifter is Galexis this week, channeled through Ginger Metro, and Ginger is on the air saying hi before she brings in Galexis. Good afternoon, Ginger. How you doing?
Doing just great, Veronica. Thanks.
And how's your show going? You do the show on Monday, every other Monday evening at 6?
That's correct. Every first and third Monday at 6 on BBS Radio and Channel 1, we do The Path of Power, and Galexa speaks for an hour.
Oh, wonderful.
And takes callers.
Great. So tell me about Galexis. How did you and Galexis meet? I know we talked exactly 6 months ago today on the air, but I bet you everybody doesn't remember everything you said.
Well, I was having sessions, regular channeled sessions, with various channelers, and one session, the entity speaking in that particular session said, well, there is someone who wants to work with you. And I said, what? You know, me, a channel? You know, but since the channeled sessions were getting rare and scarce and few between, I decided, yeah, I'll give it a shot because time to be self-sufficient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I practiced opening up to our guides and answering simple questions, and I seemed to have a talent at it. And sure enough, shortly after, I was told that that there was someone who came to work with me on it, while I was channeling. All of a sudden, this voice came in that had a different quality to it, and they said, "Well, we are a group, and what we're doing is that we're enabling you not to have to channel so many different entities, because I could do maybe four or five different ones in an evening.
Maybe a ventriloquist.
Go into channeling once, into trance once, and we will just pass the microphone on our side."
Hmm. That's wonderful. I mean, did you question it? Did you argue?
No, I was curious, so I wanted to experience it first. And so what it did was relieve me of the stress and the tiredness I would feel after going in and out of trance over and over.
Hmm.
And this time I made a new arrangement in which that every time I go into trance, I feel better afterwards.
Great.
I have more energy. And while I'm in trance, my metabolism is different.
Hmm.
It speeds up. Aches and pains disappear. It's just it's almost as if the energy is really balanced and it's flowing and that kind of thing. And so over time, as I channel more and more over the years, my health is quite a bit improved.
And your health was pretty poor, was it?
It was. I had chronic fatigue at the time.
Oh, I see.
So I thought, well, sit down and channeling, this I can do, you know, because I can't really do anything more active at the, you know.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. Tell me this, Ginger, did you have, like, deep down inside, we've been talking about success, and very often success is measured by those feelings that we get when we're accomplishing something we have set out to do in our soul journey. Did you ever have a feeling of wanting to be a, for example, spiritual teacher, or to become enlightened, or, you know, something that drove you toward being successful as a channel, you know?
Well, actually, I had a tremendous amount of drive for my spiritual path,
mm-hmm.
so much so that I even went over to India and sat at the feet of a guru and meditated over there.
Well, who was the guru?
Kirpal Singh.
Was it wonderful?
It was fantastic.
Hmm.
Of course, I also got sick while I was over there and had pleurisy and all sorts of crazy things. But it's still, at the same time, my spiritual journey was probably my most important focus of my life. But I had always wanted to be conscious and to do things of a creative nature,
mm-hmm.
my creation. And so channeling came, of course, when I had chronic fatigue and I just didn't feel like doing anything. So it was, of course, a healing for me to come out of the chronic fatigue. But at the same time, I didn't really see myself as a channel, and I actually resisted considerably, quite a few years, resisted the whole idea of actually channeling for other people.
Hmm.
I would just channel for Daniel, my husband.
And why do you think you resisted?
Well, because I resisted losing my conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I channel, I go into my subconscious very much like a dream state.
Oh, I see.
And I felt I was relinquishing and letting go of my time, my space, my energy, my creativity, etc.
And do you
so
think...
I had some resentment about it.
Good for you.
It took me a long time to kind of get to the point where I've started to enjoy it. And just I like the feeling of it.
Mm. Tell me this, Ginger. That's really interesting. I have more questions on that. But I want to go back to something else. Do you think that the illnesses that you've suffered through have been a real prerequisite for success on your soul journey? Pretty complex question, huh?
Right. Well, no, I don't think it's a prerequisite. But I don't see how else I would have been forced to look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had not gotten sick and had all sorts of toxic poisonings and fatigue and all those kinds of things, I probably would have gone a very traditional life.
You would have?
I probably would have. I probably would have been an athlete.
Well, in the way you are an athlete, aren't you? You're an inner athlete, girl.
Well, yeah.
Well, actually, it's just very interesting because we're talking about, for example, the spiritual journey, and a lot of people have gotten to their spirit through some kind of adversity like illness, haven't they?
Well, yes, and it's a tradition that I'm hoping in this new consciousness shift we're going to be able to move out of. It's something that's common to many cultures that have what you'd call the medicine men and women or the shamans, that so many times in order to distinguish who is moving on their spiritual journey or who is a healer, they will have to have a particular deformity, a wound, or a mysterious illness that doesn't clear up
until
they get into doing that kind of work.
It's sort of interesting that when you have a conscious, you are relatively conscious when you're channeling, Alexis, eh?
Well, I am aware in the sense that it's like a dream.
Hmm.
It's like a semi-lucid dream. It is like a kind of lucid dream, but it feels like to me like I'm sitting in a chair listening to a conversation going on, but I'm not participating.
Hmm. But can you choose to participate if you wish?
If I do, then I disrupt the channeling.
I see.
And to me, that's not really appropriate because that is the insertion of my own ego. And I'm not saying ego from the point of view of the toxic ego, but it's just my particular functioning and interacting, therefore it would interrupt the transmission.
Well, that makes sense. And the other question I'm sure a lot of people ask you, I know, for example, a wonderful woman who's a channel. She's an amazing channel, but I think she's just getting sicker and sicker and dying. And I'm curious about that. Can Galexis, can these wonderful beings that come through, can they not make us healthier? Or?
Well, you see, Galexis makes me healthier. Mm-hmm. But that's part of my arrangement and agreement with Galexis. When I first got into understanding what a trans channel was, I was in the spiritualist church briefly. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, those are called trans mediums. And I visited Camp Chesterfield in Indiana, which is one of the more famous spiritualist summer camps. And I noticed that virtually every trans medium that was there was ill.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were obese.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could hardly breathe.
I've seen a lot of that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them had diabetes and ulcers on their feet. It was just terrifying in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time I said, my gosh, if I ever do any kind of channeling or whatever, I refuse to do this illness trip with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the aspect of the new paradigm anyway. Is that you should not have to suffer for your spirituality. That's an old outdated, medieval kind of concept.
I think that's really true, and yet the question still comes up. I'm sure for people asking you about your health, you're pretty healthy then now, aren't you, relatively speaking?
Well, relatively, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit that I'm healthy now, which is a stretch for my self-image because I had so many illnesses for so many years.
Mm.
So it's kind of new for me, actually.
So, all right, well, I'm really excited. It's wonderful to talk to you, Ginger, but I'm really excited to...
Well, I know everybody wants to hear Galexis.
Well, I would like to hear you, too. And
well, thank you.
Most people want to hear from the channel as well.
All right, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to be quiet for a few seconds and go into trance, and if you want to, you can continue talking or whatever and then get back to Galexis, and they'll be in a few seconds.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
So I'm asking everybody at home to breathe clear and be
okay.
All ready.
Okay, well, bye for now.
Bye. Let's breathe and clear and be all ready for a visit from Galexis. Galexis is helping us into the paradigm shift as a paradigm shifter.
All right, we are here.
Good evening, Galexis. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, dear one. It's a pleasure to be with you yet again.
All right. So we were discussing success. There's so many ways I'd like to go with you tonight, but I wanted to follow my prior show and ask about your opinion of success. What is it that's a success for you?
All right. Well, you know, when you don't have the physical body, the limitations of the physical body,
mm-hmm.
then you have a different perception of success than someone who is struggling in their everyday physical reality.
Yes.
What we see success as, and we also see that when a person in their physical form is able to see success this way too, that it gives an enrichment to life that is more true to what success really is. Success, we think, is an emotional state.
Hmm.
Emotional state of tremendous well-being that's anchored in value of the self.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when a person is looking to be a success, most often in the physical plane, they're looking for the trappings of it. They're looking for the big house, the car, the great job, the money, et cetera, et cetera. The successful relationship, the beautiful or gorgeous husband or wife or whatever. So they're looking out the trappings. But it's the state, the emotional state, where they feel good about themselves, where they love and appreciate and value themselves. And this value is in a sense, connected to all that is. It's an actual state of oneness. Because if you are truly successful, you are connected vibrationally to the natural flow of energy on your planet.
Hmm.
And you can tap it. You can create magic at will by choice by saying, this is what I would like. I want to see this. I desire this. And things will come to you. Provided that you value yourself and you're holding a sense of energy about yourself, a resonance, a field of play about yourself in which you're in your power and your value, loving and caring for yourself. It's a state of success that is intangible, it is emotional, but it attracts the outer aspects, the forms, the trappings are attracted to it. And so, of course, because the two of them intrinsically go together, a person who's unaware of this incredibly beautiful emotional state of success will look at the trappings and say, that's success, because those trappings are going to be attracted to whomever has value. Now, unfortunately, up until pretty much this new consciousness shift period, success trappings could be attracted to people who were not really fully appreciative of themselves. in a sense that a person could have an area of their life in which they felt valuable, in which they appreciated and enjoyed themselves, in which they had the aura and the energy of success. For example, a person could have success in their business.
Mm-hmm.
But in their personal life, they may not have it.
Right.
And there are so many examples of people who've, you know, made it to major wealth and riches and so forth, but lost their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Or just completely messed up.
Or messed themselves up,
mm-hmm.
or destroyed their physical body
mm-hmm.
through, like, addictions or something, which is an emotional destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a particular area in which they could plug into success, and there they understood the feeling.
Mm.
But you see, in order to have true success, which we sense is in every area of your life, you cannot have an underlying feeling of unworthiness or undeservingness, or you cannot hold guilt and shame inside yourself.
Because that will always radiate under whatever you're doing.
That will always sabotage your success.
Right.
Whatever area you even allow it in, it's like a lot of Hollywood celebs get into tremendous success, and as far as everyone knows them, that's a household name, the paparazzi are after them, and they collapse, they crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to go into rehab or whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
you know,
to find success
because they cannot handle the intensity of it, because success has a great deal to do with the image you hold of yourself.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And if you really value and enjoy yourself and love yourself, the image you hold of yourself is that you are a radiant, powerful light being,
mm-hmm.
really. And if you can, and for those people who can hold it for just a little while, and then it suddenly comes to the point where it gets to beyond their imagination of what they can actually be, then in a sense their success, the trappings of success, are attracted to an image and to a resonance that's higher than what they can hold.
Mm.
And they will collapse it to bring it more comfortably back into a safe zone of what they can manage.
That sure makes sense, doesn't it?
You see. So those are called snapbacks.
Mm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
and so a lot of people also go into success for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They try to build themselves and improve themselves, but the ultimate agenda is to impress others and to be approved of, and to find belonging, and you know, and get their ego out there, and these agendas are facades.
Well, you were talking earlier about the qualities of value, how you value whatever it is you're doing on a deep level. Right.
Right. Well, you can also have a self-delusion going on where you can value yourself for a while, but if it gets over a certain point, it breaks the facade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Wizard of Oz is this little guy behind the screen, you know. And most people, actually every person at some point in their life, has hid behind their facade.
Right. That's
we
right.
actually did a whole workshop on this particular situation to reveal what's under the facade so people can feel completely honest and true to themselves.
Yeah, so to me, a lot of times success is about being in the truth of self and what self is driven for. There's something else that I wanted to ask you, though, about yourself, talking about self. For you beings who are moving together in this wonderful coalescence of wisdom for us all, what, let me see, can you tell us about your existence and how you came to find your way to the earth, or is that just something that you're knowing always?
Well, most of us, we are a group, most of us have been physical. And many of us, as individuals, visit channels all over the place.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of us, you know, we come in this channel, that channel, and so on. So it's not like, you know, we have as each individual in the group, every individual in the group having an exclusive relationship
mm-hmm.
with the one who's channeling us now. What the uniqueness is of us is that we come together.
Mm-hmm.
This group that we are, we come together. And in this coming together, we did it for her, but also, in a sense, so that we could reach a greater number of people, because there's no way that she would have been able to handle over any length of time, doing multiple in and out, and in and out of trance.
Mm-hmm.
You see, night after night or day after day.
But how is it with you that you would come to this? This is a success for you, or this is a goal for you. Can you explain how?
Well, this is one of the things that we do, because, of course, we are not bound by time or space. So as we speak with you now through this channel, we're doing all sorts of things on other dimensions, you see, and we live on various and sundry dimensions. There's some of us who've not been physical.
Mm.
Most of us have been physical, but some have not. We actually have some extraterrestrials as part of our group,
mm-hmm.
you see, and we get together and we find it really fascinating how to merge our energies without losing our sense of self.
Mm.
It's an experiment in creating a dynamic of soul and spirit that is the same kind you would have for an individual, but greater.
Hmm.
But for us to be able to maintain this unique singularity as a group. So that's been rather fun and interesting and challenging for us. And then, of course, also, we like to work with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with lots of people that speak with the channel, speak with us through our channel. And we work with them on their own time. They call us, they talk to us, we work with them as they sleep at night,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And this is a lot of fun for us.
Mm. And you're actually, would you say that you're actually infusing individuals with higher frequencies as well?
Oh, of course. Every mm-hmm. time, every time we come through this channel, she is infused with higher frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of the lift. That's part of this dimensional change that's going on the planet. It's all about enabling people to connect into fourth dimensional resonance. Because as soon as you can connect into fourth dimension, you can slip right through fourth dimension and connect into fifth dimension. And then you can dream into reality, into physical manifestation, a new reality. And of course, as you call yourself, a paradigm shifter, as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a new paradigm that as you get into touch of higher frequencies, you can bring through. You can create from scratch, so to speak, rather than starting with a three-dimensional model and kind of keep breaking out and just kind of expanding it and nooching it a little bit here and there. You can actually step into fifth-dimensional consciousness and create something new.
A brand new paradigm.
Right, a brand new paradigm based on energies very different from the three-dimensional energies that are currently the foundation of your reality now, which has to do with lack of safety,
mm-hmm.
has to do with scarcity,
mm-hmm.
has to do with separation.
Mm-hmm. Competition and stuff.
Yeah, oh yes. And so in a sense of hierarchy
mm-hmm.
that is actually non-existent where we are.
Well, that's wonderful. So you don't
have
to deal with
scarcity,
all that.
You see, we don't have any lack of safety,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, we. It is. You
but
know,
you don't have any
have
embodiment
of
love
and union.
And you don't have any embodiment, do you?
No, we don't. Well, now there are certain forms that individuals amongst us who work much more focused in the astral plane will have astral bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are aware that when they go into astral travel, they are in their astral bodies.
Hmm.
So we can play with form like that.
One more question about that. Is this the only time, like how many, is this the time in history on this planet where we have an exceptional number of wonderful beings like you, consciousnesses coming through to help us grow?
Well, yes, because there's such an extraordinary number of beautiful, conscious individuals who actually chose to do the physical embodiment thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you guys are the ground crew,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
You don't kind of even diminish your role here. It's not that we're the great ones come to save you. No, we're just part of your crew. Many of you
mm-hmm.
on the physical plane have as much power, as much background, you might say, of spirituality. There are many what are called ascended masters who are on physical plane right now,
mm-hmm.
and they're going through physical plane experience, and they don't look like the, you know, holy moly, perfect life ascended masters that people would assume that they would have.
Right.
They don't look like it.
But
you know,
they have
may be struggling in normal things. Why? Because so many of you are coming here to change the template. You know, and if you're going to change an energy from an A, point A energy to a point B energy, you got to start at point A.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come into the lower frequencies, into the darkness, and there's no judgment on that. It's just that's, in a sense, it's a very intriguing place to be.
Hmm.
And it wasn't originally intended to be an awful, you know, ugly experience.
But that's part of our free will, and it gets to be kind of...
But your free will decided you wanted to experience the ultimate nth degree of
mm-hmm.
fear and pain and shame and all those kinds of dark emotions, and you did such a good job of it that a whole bunch of individuals, really a large number, have come onto the planet who are not used to being in physical embodiment
mm-hmm.
in order to raise the energies and raise the frequencies on the planet.
Mm-hmm. So are you part of that as well? You said that you've been in embodiment before.
Yes, we've been. A lot of us have been in embodiment.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And some of us who are have been in embodiment actually now have maybe a lifetime on planet Earth. So actually have our, you know, a piece
a concurrent
of,
lifetime, you mean?
A piece, you know, active mm-hmm. in this process and the physical, whereas the majority of you, even when you are in the physical body, the majority of who you are is not physical
mm-hmm.
and works on other dimensions.
That's something I really wanted to talk about, but I'm not even quite sure how to phrase the question. I know that we exist in other dimensions simultaneously in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we feel that? How can we associate with that? How can we make that effective or grow into it and become conscious about it?
All right. Well, the main thing is, first of all, you've got to acknowledge that it may be really truly there. Most people are, yeah, we hear it's there. We know some people who have experienced it. Every now and then I get a glimpse of it, that kind of thing. But it seems to have a feeling of a difficulty of approach. There's a belief system that it's hard to get there. And that's a big limit.
And maybe our brains can't comprehend.
Oh, your brains can do just fine. It's the belief systems that keep you stuck.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the belief system is that you are incapable of it. Or that it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or that only the rare and extraordinary few can do it.
So can we get this comprehension through doing out-of-body or meditations? Or?
Of course you can.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing is to recognize that you can do it. And then the second thing would be to look out that you are working on multi-dimensional realities all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first places to go is into your emotional body. Like we were talking about success, it's basically an emotional state.
Okay.
It comes from valuing yourself and
mm-hmm.
and being in a good position with yourself, holding a good opinion, a good self-image. But it's in that emotional state where you find the greatest limitations. For example, it's very, very difficult, truly, to get into fourth and fifth dimensional consciousness if you still are holding on to shame.
Mm-hmm.
Or you still identify yourself with this kind of limited, inadequate, incompetent, weak creature. There's so much judgment in your world about weakness that most people who perceive themselves as weak because somehow or another they're not mega successful or they're not able to just immediately start, you know, bringing in the great wisdom and so on and so on, they will basically judge themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they will feel themselves a failure It's very, it's, you guys are very extreme. You know, you just get very black and white about things. Okay, either I'm this great success or I'm this horrible failure. Mm-hmm. And this gets fed to you when you're young from your culture. And you pick it up and believe it to be true.
But we can move beyond that.
Of course you can. Mm-hmm. But you've got to let go of all the sense of weakness, all the sense of, because you're stronger than you have a clue about. It doesn't matter if your body is strong or weak. What matters, what is strong, is that your spirit and your soul are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to let go of the burdens that are on them. And the biggest burden is a feeling of undeserving or shame or guilt or however, you know, that you're a failure or that you're not okay or whatever that is, that sense of lackfulness of self.
And it's sort of pumping through the collective a lot of the time, isn't it?
Well, that's in the air all the time. It's like radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are receptive to them, you will pick it up. You'll pick that station up. You'll pick up the shame station, you
mm-hmm.
see?
So it's all about clearing.
If you let it go consciously, deliberately, willingly, then you can irradiate and you can tap into the part of you that has spiritual strength and you can feel the sense of purpose of your mission. And then what energy is coming through in the air of power and beauty and light, you'll resonate with those and you'll pick those up. And you'll, so you'll have the light channel.
Hmm. I want to jump back a minute. You said there were many beings coming to this planet at this time who have not had embodiments, who have a lot of light.
Yes.
And they're here to raise the frequency. I wondered if you have anything to say about the new children, the indigos and the...
Yeah, some of them are these beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they're coming in now rather than coming in with the baby boomers is because the baby boomers had to be the generation gap beings. The baby boomers and before, those are the harbingers. Those are the ones who had to initiate the shift.
Mm-hmm.
So that the children coming in now don't have to encounter a situation quite as harsh and quite as incomprehensible. In other words, when you were a young person, you know, that, or, you know, if you're growing up in the 50s or whatever, you know, there was a, you know, nobody could have really comprehended this. Nope, there wasn't a place for you to land if you were psychic.
Right.
You were just ostracized, or you just had to close it up. There was no, nobody
the
would do anything about it.
You were the problem child.
Yeah, you'd be the problem child. You wouldn't know why you were so sensitive and weird and unstable. You just wouldn't have understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else would have understood what to do with your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole group, this whole generation that showed up in order to make that shift have also opened up the wisdom about what it is to be developed, what psychic energies are happening and how to read that and how to develop it and how to support it and so on, so that some of these children coming in now can have the support that they need, because they would not be bringing in this level of sensitivity if they had to endure that wall of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
In their, and now what they're doing is they're coming in where there are mentors. They're the elders, the first of the baby boomers and older. They're these are the elders who are the ones who made the shift, who are there as role models who can support the gifts. So they don't have to encounter these blank walls of denial that those who grew up in the 50s and early 60s or whatever had to do.
So maybe they don't need as much therapy, huh?
Well, probably not, but they are more sensitive.
Yes.
And there's, and because they're more sensitive, they're also much more sensitive to vibrations, electromagnetic fields, chemicals, foods, and all sorts of environmental poisons.
Well, they've sure come into a big cesspool of that right now, haven't they?
Exactly. So many of them are on medication for, you know, ADD and things like that.
Well, that's the part that kind of worries me. If we know and if we're conscious about this intuitive awakening, we're just really being hard on them. How can we build up our power in the world to make some changes here?
Well, it's not about us building up our power to make changes in the world, but in the sense of holding holding the wisdom and sharing it so that those people who have children that are gifted can see these children from a positive place and support them in their food choices, in their growth choices, in their life situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the world will come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you create a fabulous life for yourself, your world will shift.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing, though, when you're talking about the children, though, is that they need somewhere, they need a mentor. They need somebody that says, oh, that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Here, okay, let me ask you some questions. Do you see spirits in the house? The child could say, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do they look like? And you're positive about it, and the child goes, oh, well, this one wears a big robe, and that one, you know. And so pretty soon they're feeling it's okay to see this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to feel this way. But they have to be given approval. Right now, there's still a lot of resistance. But the fact is that there's still many of them who've come in who have parents who are supporting them.
Yes, yes.
And so they're the second wave. Now, there is the beginning soon, or maybe just the very beginnings right now, of the next wave.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the children who are going to come into their powers in the late teens and early 20s.
And they're not here yet?
Well, they're just starting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Just as of 2006,
mm-hmm.
this is a new group is coming in. And these are those who are going to rely on the fact that the indigo and the rainbow children are old enough to be their mentors.
Okay. And have paved the way, actually.
And have paved the way mm-hmm. for it to be acceptable for a child to have psychic gifts and powers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe help them not be so stuck in the addiction world and the... That's
right. So, because right now it's a real control game,
mm-hmm.
and parents and authorities are spooked by it.
Because mm-hmm.
they're spooked by anything that threatens control.
It makes their child different.
Yeah, or anything that creates any kind of sense of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
People are so scared of chaos. Why else would there be such a huge insurance industry?
Right.
You see, why would there be so much malpractice and all that kind of stuff?
But our insurance industry is getting really chaotic in itself now.
Exactly,
it's sort of in a freaked-out state, isn't it?
That's right. About every system that you have is going to experience its chaos, because chaos always precedes the change of
mm-hmm.
order.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a change of order that is happening.
It's essential.
It's essential, yes, and it's destabilizing the society.
So let's jump into the destabilization of our economic control systems and the eclipse and that wonderful transcription that was done of a show that you did of Passive Power on money and changes.
Yes.
So money, what can we look forward to in the economic shifts? How can we surf these changes? How can we make it effective
All right.
for ourselves?
Well, the thing is that you have to, as an individual, you and whoever is listening, you as an individual must really template your future based on feelings of safety, feelings which lead to trust that in your reality you'll be okay. Okay, and then also looking at it from a point of view that you have power to make choices for yourself. And then thirdly, that you have resources that can manifest, even if by seemingly magic,
mm-hmm.
when you need it, when you choose it, when you are open to it. And if you can kind of hold that, if you can realize that there is no scarcity, really,
mm-hmm.
And now there's a certain drama that goes with scarcity.
There seems to be a wave going on where many people will be calling me lately and saying, I'm losing my job, things are coming apart, the security that was there isn't there. And
that's right. They're moving into the chaos.
Right. And
they're
and
moving
that's...
into the destabilization. But if you have watched some of them, the ones who have a lot more conscious awareness and more presence, the ones who have who are a bit more aware of their interface between themselves and their reality, the ones who are willing to take their power and to dream again, you'll find that they will land on their feet. Yeah, there may be some really tough time somewhere in the transition, mm-hmm. and as long as they get into the gloom and into the self-pity and into the darkness and worry, 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 fear, 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 scarcity, 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 separation, 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 i.e. the foundations of the old reality,
mm-hmm.
they can't really move over. But those that you've seen who do move over, they will manifest a new life for themselves.
And very quickly.
And quickly.
But
it'll
the thing
just
I
like
just,
magic.
I just wanted you to address how sometimes in the shock and the rapid shift, people get this fear, so they'll phone and go, oh, I got afraid, does that mean I'm doomed? It's like, no.
Well, yes. Well, see, people yeah. are so primed to feel that if they're afraid, that means they're already failing.
That's right. That's exactly
because that
what...
means they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's so much judgment about fear, but fear tells you, hey, there's something important to look at here.
Right, right, right.
And generally those who say, oh my gosh, what am I really fearing? That's one of the things we recommended, is to look at, what am I really fearing?
Mm-hmm.
And really look at it. Okay, I'm afraid that my money's going to run out, and I'm going to have to struggle, and I'm going to have to take a pathetic job, and I'm going to have to this and have to that, you know?
The 7-Eleven midnight shift.
That's correct, yes.
I just think it's interesting for us to realize that sometimes we slip right into those things, but it doesn't mean you have to stay there, but just to
correctly,
recognize
correctly, but it's good to know what the scenario is that is the scary one that
mm-hmm.
you, that keeps showing up on your radar,
mm-hmm.
so that you can look at it and say, well, okay, I am going to take my power back from this now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to choose something new for myself. I'm going to choose I'm going to choose empowerment. I'm going to choose magic and miracles. I'm going to allow myself to value myself enough to open to success.
Okay.
But most people think, oh, I can't trust anything, and not where they get the idea. We've got to surf the changes. We've got to adjust to that. We've got to figure out how to go with that flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you only realize it's your flow.
Mm.
This is an illusion, you see.
Well, that drops
people
us right.
It.
That drops us right back into the body, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. that drops you back into 3D reality. If you're going to break the paradigm, mm-hmm. you have to break the lack of safety. You have to break the scarcity energy. You have to break the separation energy.
Right. And when you're actually doing, you've got a new workshop, or is it a CD, on the body, making peace with our body.
Well, yes, and this is very important, especially for people who have not had a lot of lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're here, they find the physical plane experience very debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be here. You know, what is the common negative term for a spiritual person is a space cadet. These are people who don't really want to be in the physical body.
Right.
But because the traditions available, spiritual traditions available on your planet, tend to deny or diminish the emotional states, while they enhance or support detached mental states. Most people try to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they actually get stuck more dangerously sometimes. As long as they can create an aloof distance, you know, like monks and nuns can go and live in a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
There's an aloof distance. They are surrounded by their own. They meditate. They can be in what to them is a spiritual environment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to address the scarcity and the separation, and the powerlessness. They don't have to address those things. They've created an island for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of people try to do is to create an island for themselves in which they detach from their world and create their own
monastery. And that's in their mind, you mean?
In their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So they go run into the mind. But when they run into the mind, they're running out of body and out of heart, out of emotion.
Out of emotion.
And so if you've noticed, most recent trend, and it's a beautiful one in spiritual teachings and so forth on this planet is re-emphasizing personal power and love.
Mm-hmm.
You see, mm-hmm. getting back into the heart, feeling stuff. People are still skitterish about emotions. Most people are afraid that if they go and look at their emotions too closely, that they're just going to be too devastated and overwhelmed with negativity, and they have so much fear of their own emotions that they run and hide behind their facade. Again, that's what we were teaching in that workshop about the facade, about the secrets people hide behind. They create this facade.
Well, to me, from my work, I always see that where we hide our emotion creates problems in the body right there, doesn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, because where are you going to put them?
Mm-hmm.
They don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
If you ignore your emotions, yes, you are pretending they're not there, but you're not above them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be somewhere. And if you're not consciously aware of them, it's like if you're not on top of your enemy, being aware of your enemy could be anywhere, could be behind you with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a sense, people seeing their emotions as their enemy are trying to do it by covering their eyes, kind of like the ostrich burying its head, right? And so as a result, the emotions just end up, and the other part that's being ignored is the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the body says, here's what I feel that is right for me to eat. Here's what my temperament and the way I want to move is. And the mind says, oh, no, you don't. You've got to go and be a machine. You've got to go and sit at your desk for so many hours. We've got to get this done. We've got to meet that deadline and so on. And I'll throw you a tidbit at dinner. I'll give you a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what the body wants.
Mm-hmm.
The body doesn't want comfort food. That's an addiction.
How would you recommend that people pay attention to what they eat? Is it sitting with your body and seeing if your stomach turns?
Well, at first, the thing is that people have a bad relationship with their food anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
People see their food as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly people who have gotten into health and have to restrict their diets and get rid of food allergies and all that kind of thing, food is seen as a challenge.
Yeah, and when I was learning about...
people who are overweight or who have addictions, food is just scary.
Right.
So that the relationship to food has to change.
And so instead of being comforting, it becomes punishing.
Well, yes, it becomes your relationship with your body becomes sadomasochistic or codependent. It becomes like a sick relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you feel if you're in a sick relationship, you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have maybe elation one minute, depression the next. You don't know how to control things. It seems to be out of your power.
And it doesn't even seem to be your own a lot of the time. It's just
well,
like
it isn't. It isn't. Yeah. A lot of these people who are not used to physical plane lifetimes and are not enjoying physical plane experience will energetically take on other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they don't really know how to create boundaries for themselves.
Are you going to be giving did I understand that you're giving a seminar or a workshop on our relationship to our body?
Well, we've already given it, actually. We're going to release that workshop as of next week. So it'll be available for purchase at our website,
which is
GalexisSpirit.com.
Excellent.
And at the same time, we are also going to offer people who want to know about that, we're going to offer them an article which is a transcription of an event where we talked about ending the war on food and how to clear this battle and struggle that we have with food, you see.
Well, that's wonderful. So it's ourselves. It's not about gardening or...
No, it's not about, you've got to get the right food and the right proportions. There's some of that. But you see, that's determined by your body.
Mm-hmm.
Your body will tell you what that is. But you and your body have to have a good relationship before you can hear what your body tells you.
That's pretty tricky, isn't it, with a lot of people?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so in that workshop, what we do is we show people what the body can do. And we show people how to be a partner with their body.
Mm.
Their body is not, you see, religion has downplayed the body and considered it almost evil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the senses. Oh, we must rise above the senses.
Mm-hmm.
They're so bad, you know. Spiritually, we must rise above the body. The body is the place of our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this kind of judgment on the body.
Mm-hmm.
But the body is your partner in your life.
Certainly, it's our vehicle.
And what we want to, what we did in the workshop was teach people how to partner with their body on a good, respectful, equal basis.
Oh, wonderful.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then in that meditation that we give, we enable people to create a new agreement with their body.
Excellent.
Yes. It's very healing and very restorative. It enables a lot of people to come to terms with food addictions, food allergies, you see, and also for them to listen to their body becomes healing in many ways. They lose weight, they whatever conditions they have begin to abate, their digestive systems improve, etc., etc., and everything.
Oh, you probably age with more elegance, too.
Well, that's also a factor here, is that you don't really need to do so much aging. That's a program based on scarcity,
mm-hmm.
fear, and separation,
and loss,
and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in October we're going to do a two-day workshop on youthing.
Oh, wonderful.
The aging reversal process.
Great. Where is it going to be?
It's actually going to be in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
In San Pablo, California. That's near San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be the weekend of the 17th of October.
Excellent. So we can find out about that, keep in touch with that information.
Right. You can go onto the website and look in the calendar and click on that date, and you'll see all the details.
That's GalexisSpirit.com. And we're done for the day, but I've certainly been inspired to feel like this is an ongoing reward. Thank you so much for being
You're
on.
Certainly welcome, and it's such a pleasure to get to speak to your beautiful group of friends. Because, of course, you know, even though you may not be aware of it, we can see and sense the network of listeners.
Thank you.
So we send all of you our light and our love.
Thank you so much, Galexis.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, Didger.
You're very welcome.
All right. Many blessings.
We will send that thank you onto our channel.
Thank you.
All right. Farewell.
Farewell. Well, that was very inspiring, as always. And next week on Paradigm Shifter, we have another channeling event, and it will be Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing, her team. Many of you listen to her show Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock, and you hear the team channeling as well. And we're going to have a similar discussion with them that we had today with Galexis. So tune in next Tuesday at 5 p.m. for a little interesting chat with some more channeling beings and learn about these collections of consciousness that are really supporting us all. And check Galexis' site, GalexisSpirit.com, for up-and-coming, either your CDs that you talked about or their seminars coming up. Also, I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And the team is going to talk about, I'm not sure what, but I'm going to be interviewing Jackie. We're experimenting with a whole new thing, a way to bring out some of her experiences so she gets to respond to the questions. So tune in on that, 8 o'clock on Thursday evening on BBS Radio. And then, of course, Radiance by Design next week at 4 o'clock. And I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. I think we're going to talk about, I don't know. But it's a call-in show. I love to get your calls. And if you'd like to be on my email list, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And if you'd like a session with me and the guides helping you go through your soul journey and find out what's blocking whatever the situation is, it's wonderfully uplifting for me and for my clients. So you can email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, or phone me, 510-595-5564. And I really enjoyed this time with Galexis and Ginger, and I want to send all of you much love and many blessings. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you on Thursday. Blessings.